Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. I'm talking with Noah Lavud today.
Hi, guys.
Is that the best way to say your last name?
Yes.
Noah?
Lavud. I know it sounds like
Lavud. Lavud. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm talking with Noah today. What are we talking about, Noah?
Oh, wow. Where to start?
A few things.
I would love to share a few things about content creation, about influencer marketing, about personal branding.
Yeah. And that's the whole podcast. See you later, everyone. Got to go now.
Yeah.
No, it's all over. No, actually, the best way to start is always so people have an idea of like who you are for your friends who aren't listening, those people who don't know you. Could you tell them, give them an idea of who you are, what you're currently doing, and I guess like a little bit we can explore it. A bit more later, but like, how you, I guess, came to be where you are at this point in your life right now with what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm so excited to be here. So I'm 25 and I moved recently to Australia after working as a marketing manager in many other markets in the US, in the UK. In Israel, and I've been working in the marketing industry for the past 6 years, and I loved it. And I always tell myself I have like a dream list, and no matter what, like which stage am I in life, I need to like stop several times at my ear and refresh it and refine it. And Australia was always been my dream. And
really?
You know how's life it is, so
it is pretty good here.
You think so?
I'm not completely isolationist, so I do have some sort of idea of being overseas, but I mean it's easy when you're here, right? Like it's easy, like I'm sure like most people say where they're living, but I think genuinely Australia's and I'm Queensland is a pretty good place. Nice climate.
True.
Yeah. Tick.
True, exactly.
Tick. That's good.
Oh, definitely agree. So I wanted to start doing social media nomad. I wanted to travel and work. And I fell in love with this place, with the people, with the culture, and I couldn't left.
How similar? I often wonder these things, just on the climate and say culture side of things, because you don't always know, like when you're obviously living in Australia, Australians have their own sort of way, but how similar or not similar is say, Australia or Brisbane specifically, because you're also in Brisbane now too, because you went to Melbourne first, was that right?
Yeah, I've been to Sydney. Then I went to Melbourne. Everyone told me, you have to see Melbourne. You're going to love it. If you've been in the US, you're going to love Melbourne.
Yeah.
I don't know who's your audience. Don't kill me. But I did not, I did not like a Melbourne at all. I was looking for something more like a community. And everyone told me, if you're looking for good weather, good community, Queensland.
Interesting. That's interesting because then I'm sure, look, there's going to be heaps of people be like, what are you talking about? But like the question that I was just going to say was about how similar or not similar is somewhere like Israel where you were with, say Australia. What are the, is there like, because there's a lot of, I guess, in a lot of the world, and I guess it's true in Israel too. There's sort of like a westernization, like a general culture. you know, yeah. And how similar is it? Is it very similar?
So I thought it's going to be very similar, but I found a lot of culture shocks being here, being connected to nature and, you know, the wild animals around me. You have like such a modern and Western world kind of lifestyle. So
you forget about that. It's funny because I do often occasionally, in fact, I think I said this recently to somebody when I can't remember where it was. It was, I think it was actually going to one of the networking groups that we've gone to together.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about how green Brisbane is. And I guess that is like when you're around it all the time, you don't really think about it, but it is. It's like really, really green. It's green everywhere. Exactly. Yeah.
True. And it's you don't see that very often in big cities, you know. I've been working in like many big cities around the world, and Brisbane is pretty green, and you know, it's like a rising star, I feel like. Do you reckon?
I think it is. I mean, I'm sure some other cities in Australia would disagree, but I do know there's a lot of studies and sort of evidence to indicate in terms of the amount of growth generally in Queensland, but in Brisbane, population wise and other sort of aspects, that is the case. But Brisbane's always, like Brisbane and Queensland have generally always been regarded for times in the past more like the poor cousin of, you know, of like the other bigger cities. But I think to some extent that's changing, but they've all got their own flavor. But with what, because like you were saying at the start, there was like a part, I guess, of what you, reasons why you got into this particular industry. You were sort of hinting, or I guess saying a part of that was the aspect of travel is that of sort of seeing different things. Was that originally something you specifically had in mind for why you got into the industry, or was it just it's a range of things?
That is a very interesting question. So you know, I'm 25 and I'm feeling like I've been growing up to be on social media. It's been like such a big part of my teenagerhood and childhood. So I always wanted to understand more about like how to promote, how do you get attention, how do you create communities through social media, which is something that we cannot take for granted. It's such a powerful tool. But I've been always, you know, interested of knowing how to make good communities or to keep the attention in social media. And yeah, and after studying marketing and influencer marketing, understood how beautiful and powerful tool it is. It's also kind of scary in many ways. Yeah. But once you understand how it's work and the values behind it of connecting people through big ideas and mutual interests, it's beautiful.
I do find it, because when we first had our first chat and we realized it would be like a good, it would be really good to do the podcast, because there's a lot of interesting things to cover, and especially in the influencer marketing sort of area and what you were sort of talking about in terms of the content creation era, which is an interesting phrase to coin. And I had heard that previously, but then when you said, I was like, yeah, it actually is a lot more, you know, to use the word influential, that idea now, like, and that's been sort of, I guess, simmering away on the cooktop and on the internet for years now, but it seems like now more than ever, like that idea is really, I guess, a key part that everybody, like the tools that people have to do that very, very easily, not always well, but like I still marvel at you know, people who I'm sure they don't consider themselves to be influencers in that specific, hello, I'm an influencer and I'm going to make money out of it sort of way. Like they just start a YouTube channel. But watching YouTube, like I do and a lot of people do, about some subject that you wouldn't usually associate with, you know, the, I guess the cliched idea of what an influencer is, which might be like, you know, it might be fashion, it might be, you know, swimwear, it might be, you know, video gaming, it might be, there's like a bunch of, I guess, predominant ones. But then there's this whole like universe of stuff that I still kind of marvel at when I look at someone's video and I've searched for whatever it is. I want to learn about drainage, you know, something like like drainage, like how to do random stuff. Yeah, like really random on our property. And there's some guy in the United States who's like, hey, how you going? And he's like, and he's like the video quality is like, you know, it's sort of pretty average. But he's got like tens of millions of followers. And I was like, that's amazing. And then I think, well, generally the common thing I see, and this is like obviously very closely linked to then content creation, is that the very simple fact that it actually has to be good content. And then you're like, okay, what's good content?
Right.
You know, what then makes good content? And then that's where, because I can't switch off, like you probably can't, like you can't switch off the analytical part, like when you're looking even things that we enjoy, just, you know, not for work, and you're looking at them and I'm looking at branding and stuff, I'm going, that's just like generally the quality of it is not great, but it's not so bad like that it doesn't override the quality of the content, which is the guy talking, he's like showing stuff. It's really helpful. Like at the end of the day, it's just like, is the content fit for purpose, right? It's like, so have you got, like on that topic, have you got, say, an example of a recent, you know, influencer or sort of influencers you've been working with? Because you're big on influencer marketing, like I'm sure people listening may have picked up by now.
But, she said it several times.
they may have picked that up by now. Maybe not. Maybe they're not listening.
But I want to pose on something very interesting that you said, because I want to break a stigma, because there is a stigma that influencer has to be, you know, someone who has the community and talk about beauty products or, I don't know, dancing or stuff like that. And it is very interesting because that's how it started, actually. It started by, you know, like a pastry chef who share his recipes, or beauty, I don't know, like a makeup artist who share her exercise and art. But right now in this, you know, content creation era, everyone who share content with value, it can be a comedy, it can be a value, it can be even math exercising problem solver guy from YouTube. Anyone who has like the ability to share his thoughts or ideas is an influencer. And once he has a community that interested in this topic, it's even like not a micro influencer, he's becoming a community.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's right. And that was going to be like, we got into that particular question that I just generally had, or that particular topic or subtopic to bring up, because it is like, you know, it's like, I guess we all culturally, and it might be different in different places around the world, have to battle against preconceptions about what something is,
right,
in order to, like, one, if you want to get into it, or two, your general idea about it, you're like, because there's like, you know, heaps of things that probably you or I do that we're not even aware of, that we don't, that, oh, I don't like that, or like, you know, and you don't really think about it. And it's just, it's because it has an association with something, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, influencer marketing, which you or I, and I know isn't, of course, true, of like exactly what you said, because it's like huge. And my example of like this drainage guy, and it was like great, but he had like great content. It was really, and that's just like one example. I've seen there's this guy that then I went down like a tiny little, a rabbit hole like you do, and you sort of see something and you go, wow, that's interesting. There's this guy who was doing, I was looking at Japanese wood joinery, because of course I'm doing Japanese wood joinery, which I'm not doing Japanese wood joinery, but I'm really interested in it, and I'd like to do something like that more. And anyway, occasionally I just go search for that. And there's this guy, and he had these relatively short videos, and he was just some older Japanese guy. And he didn't have any, his content wasn't like a lot of other ones. He didn't have any voiceover. He just had, it just had him doing it, but the camera angles like were good, but they weren't like super professional, but it was good. And then it was just him. You're like some people who just go, who do things like they do something and then they'll be like, yeah, good, or like, no, you know, wrong way, you know, and they do the cross, you know, and they're as he was doing that, but it was genuinely really good. And then I watched about two other videos of his, and I was like, interesting. It's interesting what makes good content.
Exactly. So here's another stigma. People tell me, okay, so if I need to start doing content, I need to start doing content that people like. And I'm going to break a stigma, man, and I'm going to say that anything in this world that you interested at, it's something worth doing content about. And it's crazy because as you mentioned, the platforms are so diverse, and the content became, you know, such a beautiful place to find almost anything. I just found a YouTuber who is talking about basement innovation, just that. And you'll be surprised how many followers he got. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like we, once you, I can't remember whether I mentioned this to when we met up, but my son and I, when he was sort of younger, about 6 or 7 or 8, we really got into ants, like ant keeping. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Ants, like little ants. And and I can't remember how it even happened, how we got into that. I can't remember how that even sort of evolved. But what we found then too was that then there's a few key people like online, but one guy in particular, Ants Canada, who's a huge, absolutely huge influencer. And he's like he was living in Canada, but he's like ex Filipino guy who used to be, he was on like Canadian Idol as a singer. And so he's like this guy. And so, but anyway, for years, for a number of years when we were really into this, we were watching this guy all the time. We subscribed to his channel and he had products, but that was a really fantastic example of a really well, super crazy well structured and engineered thing around selling products. Because he had these really good products that were genuinely good that we bought, and like for ant keeping, like the ant nests and stuff. But the content, was really good. And it ties into a little bit of what you were saying about, you know, when people go, okay, I want to get into, like, one day they come to you, Noah, and they know you're an influencer marketing person, and they go, I want to become an influencer. Like, you know, and then you talk to them about that subject that you brought up before, you know, about, you know, it's like, should I do things that people like? is like, that's a bit of a slippery slope, really, isn't it? Because it's like the thing that makes, in my opinion anyway, the thing that makes things interesting, including probably podcasts too for me personally, the things that make, you know, video, like interesting videos, interesting podcasts interesting and that you want to watch in the first place, is that they've just been genuinely passionate. They haven't tried to over-engineer the marketing side of it. I think that's an important, I think that's actually a really key thing. And
true.
It doesn't mean, I mean, and you can, I want to hear what you have to say on this, but it also doesn't mean you have to do like a crap job at marketing. You know, it means you can still, and you can have both, but I think like you kind of got to lead with that foot forward, like the foot of, I'm actually really, I'm doing this because I, you know, one, it's good for longevity. Two, it's going to be, it's going to come across as, you know, as something you're genuinely, because people can tell, right? You know, I mean, I think they can. People can absolutely tell if it's just sort of, so in your experience, like what, how does that, have you had many people who've gone, I want to, you know, maybe not literally saying it like I'm saying it, but like, you know, because it sounds sort of silly, but it was like, I've heard that influencer marketing is like really good and I should become an influencer. I mean, there's nothing wrong probably with that idea, but then the actual action has to come from the right place, right?
True. So, yeah, you said so many amazing things. I want to talk about them. So, whoa, where to start? You are right. There's a lot of people that come to me and said, oh, wait, all of those influencers are getting, you know, so much money for any collaboration and they're doing what they love. They can, I don't know, play for the rest of their life in like Minecraft, or they can, yeah, I don't know, make food for people they like and do videos about it and get paid very, very nicely. So yes, so I always say content creation world is not for everyone. You have to be persistent. You have to be consistent all the time. But yes, it's definitely a beautiful world. You have to be authentic. You have to, you know, to show part of your world, part of your passion, part of your interest. And it's, I really like what you said about not preparing a lot of stuff beforehand, because people see that and authenticity sells.
Yeah, it's the right mix though, hey, because like you can't, it's like, I guess a, because it's perhaps hard to describe, but it's easy to identify when you see it. Like it's easy to identify because it's just a more of a emotional thing. It's like, why did I like I saw this thing the other, I mean, it's so funny. Some of the things, I'm sure people will think some of the things I watch are completely dorky, but like, I was like, I
won't watch, judge myself.
No, don't judge me. Anyone listening, don't judge. But like, I was watching this thing, which wasn't even like from a YouTuber who'd created it. It was just good. And this is interesting because it flows into then just other content. So it was a video about this new innovative way to create concrete formwork for a spillway for a dam in Japan. And I don't know how I even ended up watching this stupid video, but I ended up watching the whole video and it was great. And it wasn't a particularly like super, like heaps of exciting things happening in the video. But what it was instead of, you know, cause people have to make when they, it was this engineering problem that they had where they had a very difficult area to create a spillway from this small dam so the water could escape. Right. And they had this new fabric that someone had invented that could be laid over the big spillway area that they excavated out, but they could fill it like, and they had these little pockets inside the fabric that could be filled with concrete. So instead of creating the formwork, all they did was they created this big fabric over the whole area up towards the spillway, and they pumped in the concrete and filled it. But it was like there was, I don't know what it was about it that was so, that really got my, really got my brain like activated on it. Maybe it was something, something to do with design or just how it looked. And it was like, oh, and it was all these sort of Japanese guys. However, I noticed something very interesting and I don't know whether, and then my suspicious eye got sort of ignited, was I noticed something very interesting, and it could have been just purely accidental, but there was all the guys, all the Japanese guys who were on the site had this particular brand of sort of workwear on, all of them. All of them had this particular brand of workwear. And I didn't notice it, but I was just focused on this other aspect of the video. And after, at the end of the video, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's been a really clever example of like some, you know, insertion of a brand. Because guess what I did? I was looking at these like pretty sort of innovative workwear and they look kind of cool. And once again, I'm not a workman who's looking to go and buy workwear. But what did I do? I looked at it. I was like, oh, I went over to their website. I did research on that brand.
Exactly.
I did research on their brand unwittingly.
Beautiful soul. You're part of the system.
I'm a slave to the system. I don't know what I'm doing. But fortunately, a willing slave. I'm completely okay with it. At least I was aware of it after the fact. True. Interesting. That's either just purely by chance they're like a really innovative concrete pumping company that buys good workwear for their staff, or they did something. But either way, I thought, that's interesting because that I thought of that, and maybe you can sort of speak about this too. I thought that, you know, as influencer marketing and different sub industries evolve, people get more clever and they find out different ways to do things, like a product placement in films. It's not like it's a new thing, right? It's like, exactly. Oh, Nokia phone in the Matrix, new Nokia phone. And everyone's like, oh my God, look at that phone.
That's so cool.
It's like a perfect example. And
definitely.
And how have you?
Authentic, isn't it?
But it's still authentic.
Nobody puts in a commercial like, yeah, you should buy it. That's the best one you got, right? No, it's in a such a smooth and authentic way, kind of, that sometimes, as you mentioned, sometimes you're not aware, but you're exposed to that commercial or exposed to this brand again and again and again. And that's what's happening with influencer marketing, that you see your creator on YouTube a day after day, or on story every day, and you get to expose to their culture or their product they're using or their way of thinking, you know, and you become just like it.
It's hard work though. I mean, that's the thing is that do you ever have to? Because I guess you're speaking, like, is it true to say that you're speaking more to people who are already influencers rather than people who are going, I have this as an idea, because my friend, my next door neighbor told me, you know, that I should do that, you know.
He should. If you hear us, you should start.
My next door neighbor is Mr. Beast, and he told me that it's a really good idea. But the reality is too that it's actually really damn hard work. Like that's actually, and like you were saying, it's the consistency. It's not like the magic bullet where you just go and talk about some stuff and then all the money comes rolling in. Like you gotta keep creating, and you either have to like a lot of people learn how to become a video editor themselves and then all that sort of stuff. So do you deal with more existing influencers than, or is it like a mix of
Yeah. So I will tell you that I do work with brands and influencers, and I collaborate with them. And we do, in my agency, we do influencer marketing campaigns. But since I'm working in this world and I'm creating content for myself, I know how this process going. And I've been working with many micro influencer with, you cannot imagine how many fields and industries. And I found that it's the same system, you know, those who keep doing, keep posting every day or every week and being consistent, and they don't see the result right away and keep pushing forward. Those are the ones that I'm dealing with them about 20 grand or $40,000, you know, for a campaign. It's crazy, but just as life, you have to like what you do, to love what you do, and to push forward. And yeah. I think that the beauty in social media, so, is that it's give you a right feedback, you know, because once you post, I don't know, a video, you see the views, you get a right feedback from your audience. If it was interesting, if it wasn't interesting. Sometimes you learn from that. You have to, you know, you have to know, okay, maybe my hook, my first 3 seconds weren't like something interesting. Maybe I should refine it. Maybe the content isn't interesting, or the visual hook wasn't good. So you keep refining yourself by the numbers, by the views, by the comments.
You probably shouldn't go into influencer marketing if you're an overly sensitive person, I would imagine, because you've got
it's a tough world. The internet is a tough world.
Yeah, well, you either go, okay, I really don't like other people's opinions. I'll just turn off all the comments. But then, like that whole the feedback loop, like you were saying, is, and then I mean the community are those people. So exactly. if the idea is to build a community, you gotta deal with the good and the bad. And exactly. I've heard that. I mean it's I always remember, I think it was maybe Joe Rogan, I haven't listened to him for a while, but I'd listened to a number of times, and he would bring up this same thing about, especially when he was talking to other podcasters and other people, and they were saying, oh, dude, do you like, you know, respond like to all the negative comments? Because he has a whole swag about things, usually, because there's a lot of different controversial topics, and his policy was that he doesn't in his world, he doesn't respond to any of them. He doesn't look at the comments, because for his own personal, you know, sanity, like, cause he's got probably a thicker skin than most people being a stand-up comedian like you. So like he's well practiced at being abused on stage, you know, by people. So he's got a different slant on it. But then, like the video game, it's interesting what you said before about, you know, people have this impression that you can do all these amazing things, and you go in there and you play like video games all day. But when we used to watch, who was it? There was when we were into when Hamlet, my son, was like younger too, and we were really into Minecraft, looking at Minecraft videos, and there was a couple of guys. There's one called Stampy, who I think is still around. Who's like a British guy who's just like Stampy. He's got this funny sort of voice that he does, but he makes really good content, and he's got like a constant flow of sort of speaking as he's playing. But I used to think about that, and I was like, man, I don't think I would really want to do that, because of how I particularly view, because I'm not that I play video games much anymore, but when I used to, I don't think I would want to turn it into something like I would view as a job, because, but I mean, that's, yeah, I haven't had that experience. So And then, like, it's hard. I actually tried to do it once. I had this idea once, like, ages ago before I had the podcast. I thought, oh, I'll have a podcast about doing reviews of things, you know, just random.
Which is great, yeah.
And there's great, I mean, I watch a fair swag of review content of things, like a lot of people do, that, and people doing, you know, their observational sort of ones, like they play a video and they watch it and you see them and then they're talking about it. And there's like a whole heap of people like that that I watch. But like, I tried it once just to see what it was like. And it was really hard. It was really hard to, I mean,
what
obviously,
was hard for you?
What was hard? Oh, well, I obviously didn't give it much of a go, but I tried it a couple of times about playing a video game and talking about it at the same time. Like playing the game and talking about it at the same time. It was really difficult. Like it wasn't hard to do, but then when I listened to it back, like it was that doing two things at the same time thing, and some people, or doing the engaging content and talking, but it's probably a little bit easier sometimes if you've got a mate with you. Like that particular guy would often do it with his girlfriend, who was also her name was Squishy. That was her night. Squishy. Not their real names. and they would do it together. So I think doing it together, maybe for some of those things, is easier. I don't know.
I'm feeling like it's an excuse.
I will tell you
something harsh, okay? And I would like people who are listening to us maybe also will get inspired. But you can tell yourself so many excuses about I'm not interested, or I'm not interested in the same things people are interested, or I heard about, I don't want to expose my face. I don't want people to see my face, and many other excuses. And I want to tell all of us, because I'm telling to myself as well.
Yep.
Start doing content. It doesn't matter if you're showing your face or not. There are so many other platforms that you can do without. You can write a post on LinkedIn and talk about your favorite, you know, like art or beautiful garden art that you're making. You can talk about, you know, you can build a podcast about something that interested you. You know, you can do so many stuff. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about, as long as it's something that you're passionate about, something that you interested to hear and to know. And you will be surprised that once you do that, people comes to you. Your audience will find you.
It's true.
And they will respect you for doing that.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think that's really true. And that ties into, I guess, like when I first started this podcast, I mean, like the example of the video game one was also me realizing I don't actually really want to do that. So it's probably not going to be something I'm going to do long term. It was like a bit of a, I'll give it a go. But then I thought, if I'm going to do a podcast, I'll keep it generally open-ended, so I can talk to a lot of different people about things, like to sort of help them that they want to share. And then I get to talk to people about that. And that's interesting. So, but what I found was, you know, it's just, and it does tie in very closely with what you were saying, is just the starting of it. Like the start is always generally going to be probably, and on some varying level of crap to not great. Like it'll be average, it'll be okay. It'll be, except for like the professional who's already been doing something, who comes on, they're like, hey, what's going on? You know, and everyone's like, whoa, you're incredible. And except for those people, like all the rest of us will just be going, hi. And you know, I remember listening to my first ones. I was like, oh, geez, it's like, okay, but but I feel, but it's just same themes, consistency, just like you were saying, just do it, you know, like Nike says, you know, and it's true, like just start it. You'll learn, I guess very similar to social media, you learn, you get those learnings from the doing of it and the feedback. And that's exactly how you get better. And I mean, even without me realizing it, because I've done like heaps of episodes, it's like you do stuff a lot, you just get better at it. And or you just feel at least more comfortable doing it. And I feel less, you know, on my own podcast, I feel the same. And it feels, it's interesting because my observation about my own sort of journey of doing it has been that now when I'm doing it, and I didn't think I'd ever think like this, but now when I'm doing it, I feel like I'm not doing a podcast. I just feel like I'm having a nice chat with a friend.
Beautiful.
That's how, and that's true. That's actually how I feel, because it just ends up, because it's like having a completely different sort of conversation that you would usually have with a friend or someone that you know, because you're focused on a certain topic or topics. And so like you're really kind of, you know, exploring that in depth. So it's quite different. And that's why I didn't plan it. I didn't know that was going to be the case, but now that I've been doing a bunch of them, that's why I keep doing it. So, but because it's obviously important then for keeping the content going and, you know, and all that. So when you are helping, say like from the brand side of things, how do you, what sort of process or what things do you have to consider when some brand comes to you and goes, "Hi Noah, I want to, I have heard that influencer marketing is really great and I want you to identify and find some fantastic influencers to help to support and market our business." Like, what do you have to consider with all that? Because I imagine it could be quite complicated, right?
Definitely. It's required a lot of criteria and a lot of research. But I think like just one step before. So why do we need influencer marketing? What's like its power? Why?
Well actually, so
valuable? I want to hear you.
Oh, really? Oh, do you really? Thank you.
Why not going to Google, you know, and do more ads?
Well, actually, that's an interesting point, because it occurred to me when I was thinking about us like leading up to the conversation, and you know how you generally have things swimming around in your head, just different thoughts. And I was like, I don't think influencer marketing really at its core is such a new thing. I actually don't think it's a particularly new thing, because like it is in like the strict way of having that term, but we've had for years, like say another variation on influencer marketing is like the movie star in a movie, right? I mean, why bother? You could ask the same question like you asked to me about why they'll go like, why have influencer marketing, Saul? Why not just go to Google? And I could ask the same question and flip it around and go, why would you bother having a well-known movie star in a movie? Why not just have all unknown actors? Well, there's a good reason, obviously, because the film companies and the producers feel through, you know, evidence and previous movies where they've had with Tom Cruise and they've made like $1 billion. They're like, oh, it's probably pretty likely that if we have Tom Cruise again in this new movie, like Mission Impossible 62, you know, that like they will make $1 billion again because of that. So that's, to me, that idea and every example of media pretty much that you see, you know, except just for pure interesting content creation where the content is like the predominant star, But movies and everything else is like, they're all influences, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's not.
They influence.
Yeah. So it's not, and they influence us heavily. Like you go, oh, their skill and the fact that it's so and so, and people don't even, they're like, oh, he's so handsome. Or like, oh, she's so pretty. Or like, oh, wow. He's like a great bad guy. But all of that is like being like culturally, you know, through Hollywood, you know, predominantly, and then earlier, about the role of the movie star as an influencer, and because in various points where they have product placement, like they do still all the time, you know, not maybe they do it in a more clever way, but they still do it, you know, still yeah, the one that still always stands out to me as the one that I remember just because I don't, you know, often analyze this, was in The Matrix with the Nokia phone. In that scene, do you remember that scene where like he's before like smartphones and there were cool flip phones, and it was the first perhaps of its kind that had that cool sort of mechanism that slid out, and he's like, yes, Morpheus, and it goes and it slides out, and it goes,
it is so accurate.
He goes, Morpheus, is that you? And then it slides out, and it goes, and just before he says that, it goes, and then everyone's like, oh my god, what's that phone? That's incredible. And that, I mean, that was a very clever and impactful thing, and also in its own postmodern sort of way, fitted in perfectly because they're in the Matrix. So it's like, exactly, you know, influencer marketing inside the Matrix, created by the machines for the humans, you know, which in a way is kind of what's, you know, it's all engineered.
Exactly. So,
yeah. So what do you think about that? Like, that's to me, that's because it's, yeah, in sort of answering your question, I guess it's like, that's why people, I mean, yeah, nobody has to go, and heaps of people still do obviously go to Google, and they don't all just gravitate over to influencer marketers, because they don't. They're just going to search on Google most of the time. But then that's the part, like in a movie. It's like, why, you know, why then, you know, do you put the movie out and not have a big name star or stars in it? Because it's more likely to sell it better, right? You think?
Yeah. That it is
gonna have
very
a higher probability. Going to have a higher probability. It's more risk averse, isn't it? Like it's like them going.
I will tell you what. I think that the revolution that happens through social media is that everyone can have the power or the influence. So when I was like a kid, you know, I saw a movie star, as you mentioned, as, you know, the top famous creators, and I don't know, politicians of people that I saw on television or on the news or on newspaper were, you know, my top influencers. But the fact that they are famous doesn't mean all the time that they have the influence, you know, maybe they have the power to expose themselves to a big audience, but it doesn't mean that they can influence people. But social media gave us the power to create our community, people that has the same interest as we are, and to connect to them. And that's why I'm answering now our first question. Why influencer marketing in the first place? So at first, I'm always saying to people, the fact that it's so diverse gives the option to brands to find a very specific target audience and very specific communities that fits exactly for the product. So this is a so powerful tool. So if we're talking about Tom Cruise, I don't know if Tom Cruise has a specific target audience of Gen Zs that love shoes from Texas. Maybe.
He wants to target everybody because he wants them to come over to Scientology.
Yeah, exactly.
Oops. So at first, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Yep. So at first, very specific target audience. The second thing is, as we mentioned and we talked today, it's very, very trusted advertising. Because once you see your creator every day or every week and you find its person as a professional in something, okay, even if it's in podcast or on YouTube and you watch him doing stuff, it feels much more trusted to hear a recommendation from him, or at least to take the idea of the product he used and to use it by yourself. And a good example, I think I told you about it, but my little sister, Ariel, she's 16 years old. And I told her, Ariel, your hair doesn't look good today. You need to like put something, I don't know, a cream or something. And then she said, okay, I will go to see what Melissa said, like which product she recommends. And I was saying, who the fuck is Melissa?
Who's Melissa? You don't know?
I don't know. And then she said, oh, that's the TikTok influencer that she always gives recommendations on creams and stuff and beauty products. And then it hits me so that I told her, but you know, it's sponsored collaboration probably. And she said something different. She said, yes, but Melissa doesn't work with any brand. You understand?
That you know of.
So, yeah, maybe. So it hits me that, you know, Gen Z and millennials, and sometimes.
Oh, that she picked up on that she specifically said that. And that was like important to her.
Exactly. Right. So she believes that the influencer, which is true, the influencer comparing to, I don't know, Meta business campaigns or Google Ads campaign, the influencer are human beings. They can choose if they want to work with this brand or to work with a different brand.
And that makes us
as the consumers, as the audience, feel much more trust or credibility in what they're saying. So think about like you are hearing a podcast of people talking, and once in a while he's mentioned, oh, I tried this tool of iCloud security and it was working perfectly. You feel much more credibility when someone that you already know say that. So influencer marketing has a lot of advantage. This is the second one. And the thing that I say all the time, when you want to create content to paid media or to do advertising, you first start with making a good idea of content. Then you need a photographer and a studio and someone to film that and maybe to edit the video and a place to put it. With influencer marketing, one person does it all there, you know? It's great content. He filmed. He even adjusted to, you know, trends that's currently happening and will help the video get viral. And he already know what its audience likes to see. So this gives us a huge advantage of creating content or creating commercials, you know?
Yeah, I still do, like, the more we actually talk about it, because I've over the years I've sort of thought about it, but I haven't, you know, this is the advantage of for me, just like say on a personal level, having the podcast, because I get to explore topics in an in-depth way that I wouldn't usually have the chance to do. I'm with other people that really know, you know, about certain areas like more than I do. And so I feel influencer marketing and like the content creation era and everything we're talking about really kind of highlights for me is that people are inherently really creative. Is that because there's a lot of then evidence, and I'm not just talking about, you know, doing a really good drawing or the creative industries. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that too, but like that people's thinking about things is creative. The people are inherently really creative sort of entities, and that the opportunity to, you know, to have a thing to be content creators, because there was like it sort of seems to me that if I was to reflect on like the history of just observing things and going, okay, content creation, like you had other things before the internet, right? Because the internet's like still relatively hasn't been around really that long. Like it's like 20 plus years, I can't remember when Facebook actually came out, but it's like it's not long ago. It's still a relatively new thing. So before then, for a long time, we had like other things in that framing of influencer, like we're talking about with other media, and even in print media, well-known authors, you know, all that sort of stuff, like people who are well-known and they're authorities in their area, sports people, famous sports people. And then they're selling Nutrigrain like breakfast cereal, Iron Man, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's been around forever, right? It's been around forever. And then you had, then with like social media, then you had this explosion of people having an avenue for content creation, just making stuff, just creating content, doing videos of themselves, and it sort of started very, you know, just like, hi, here's me I'm just walking my dog, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, people are starting to become very entrepreneurial about it, starting to think about. Then, you know, fast forward now to 2024, is that, you know, things for people, it seems like for humans, have a natural way to evolve and turn into businesses and turn into entrepreneurial pursuits of how to make money. And then you've got this point in society, this very big prevalent idea of work-life balance too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're that mixed with the incentive and it be able to be done easily by a lot of people when they're, you know, good at it. Like anyone can do it, but not everyone, like we were saying, can be consistent at it. That's the hard bit, I think.
Yeah.
That's the hard bit, is the willingness just to keep going and just keep at it. Like that's kind of the hardest bit in my mind, because anyone can get together the will and the mates and the skills or whatever, and like find you, Noah, and go, hey, Noah, do this for me. But then it might fizzle out and might just then not be there anymore. The hard bit is sticking at it.
True.
And so I feel like that it's interesting. There's this sort of driving force that's by observation, is that it's because people are inherently creative. Because then I've thought there's so many different diverse types of people that do it, and not all of them, in fact, most of them don't fit into that idea of, you know, oh, they would be, you know, someone who's more likely to do that, whatever that idea is, you know, that cliched idea. And then the difference between like your movie star influencers and the well-known people influencers and the average content creator is that in many instances, those other well-known people aren't then content creators. They're the figurehead. They obviously have to be good at what they do, and they're, you know, very good actors. They obviously are creative, but then they've got, you know, there's like this whole other engine around them to create the movie or the, you know, so then you've got this sort of grassroots. It's almost like
a great point, Saul.
Yeah, it's almost, for me, it feels like a return to like a village marketplace where all the like fruit growers and the veggie and all the people are selling all their wares, and you used to have like a guild to make like pottery, and it's like that to me. It's like a reverse, on a grand scale, of course.
Yeah.
like everyone's at home creating all this sort of content and putting it out there. I think it's fascinating.
It is. It is. And I have to comment on your previous point because it's very interesting and you're right. There are many influencers out there, but not all of them are good content creators. And I will explain. So there are, you know, you probably know one or even more good singers around you. They can be beautiful musicians. They can be great singers, but they're not well known as, you know, the top famous singers that we already know. And they might be even better. They might be even more talented, much more committed, much more, you know, good singers or musicians. But the fact they're not famous is not because of they're not good enough or not talented more than, I don't know, Tom Cruise or other singers around, other actors or artists around. It's the fact that they don't create content that gets to people.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes annoying because you say, I know a friend that she's much more talented than Billie Eilish or other singers up there. But the fact that Billie Eilish got beautiful, you know, beautiful content and go to be well known as she is now, making the difference. And that means that you don't have to, you have to obviously have a talent, but once you create content and you refine yourself and you build your creativity, and I'm saying build because it's something that you can build from zero, something that you can refine and practice on, you can get to beautiful communities and beautiful opportunities.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think it is really, really important that, and I know we've said it a few times now, but I think it's actually a really key point, that idea of consistency, because it's like, I mean, it's very much like in its own unique way, like sport. It's like you're never gonna, yeah. It's just more apparent in sport. It is because, like, you do actually literally never get to the top in sport unless you do actually practice. Like, you can't fake it.
Exactly.
Unless you take drugs, but even then, but even then you can't, because you still have to have a very high level of skill. That's only even just an enhancement thing. You actually still, like, you can't fake it. Is you actually just have to be genuinely fitter, faster, smarter than your opponent. And that's the thing I love about sport, is you just can't fake it, and it's in real time. And there's a sort of interesting battle that's like creative and fun, but then that's all to do with consistency too. And that's, I mean, it's kind of like almost everything in life, really. Hey, it's like,
true, it is
everything that it's like us going to, you know, meet people at networking groups. It's like doing this, you do it more, you do it more often, you do it in the same way. But then that's like your brand. It's like, you know, about branding. Now that's all about, you know, that's of course not just your logo, like a lot of people think. It's like, it's all these other things that consistency is in. I don't know if this is like from some famous like influencer or like famous person, but like it could be, but that there was like some saying, which was, I think it had another part to it, but it's like, consistency equals trust. But it was like, I think there was another bit to it, but that idea is always sort of stuck in my head, that constant whatever it is, like, you know, the influencer who's doing good, like even just the act of you going, oh wow, they've got like a video every week, is a trust sort of action. Really? It's like, oh, there's an implied thing almost, really, I think, of that people probably don't really think through, but is sort of, I'm subconsciously, there's like, they're willing to do that like every week for me because I'm watching it. And that's nice.
It is.
Yeah, it's kind of nice though. But then it's like, yeah, that's hard work. It's not easy. Someone's got to, they've either lucky enough to have someone that they're already good at, you know, certain skills makes it easier. But then there's those hurdles. Like how many people actually just say on the creative versus technical execution side, how many people or different influences have you met? Is there a constant theme or a theme that crops up about that struggle of like getting stuff done because they don't have certain technical skills or like finding somebody to do it for them?
Yeah, so it's definitely a good point. When we do a collaboration with brands, we obviously want good influencers that has a community that they truly influence it, but also we're looking for good content creators, people that know how to make contents that people enjoy watching, enjoy and want to comment and want to be engaged and to be a part of the community. And it is so important once you find this kind of number, this criteria that fits to the brand, if it's the location and the interest and, you know, the language that they're talking. Sometimes it's very interesting to see by the comments if they're Gen Z or they're millennials or they're, you know, completely a mix. But by defining that, you can find a good combination that will create a great campaign for the brand.
I often wonder, you know, whether the influence of certain things are the deciding factor in why other things happen. And what I mean by that is when you were talking about, I just mentioned like, you know, Gen Z, millennials and everything. Yeah. I often wonder if the fact that the fact that we've got social media, which in turn is like gives you data to be able to break stuff down and understand people better and see the data, whether that fact is the defining factor behind the actual naming of the different generations, if you know what I mean, that didn't come first, that people didn't one day go, I mean, it would be impossible to identify what came first, but I often wonder, it's like, did people just one day go, oh, okay, we're now in 2024, whatever, we're going to call these people the whatevers, you know, and the people in this other generation, the whatevers, and the people, and they're like the baby boomers. And even though there may have been those terms around previously, but the fact that now they're all like segmented into these groups, to me, feels more like less about like, oh, we'll just give this group a name. And it feels more about we're giving this group a name because it makes it easier to market to them, because it makes it easier. I know that might sound, I don't think that's as cynical as it actually sounds, but to me, that makes more sense. It's like giving things labels and age groups does actually make it easier to go. And I mean, I know this also to some extent, like maybe not how I said it, but I know of working with other, you know, we've done infographics for different companies that specifically deal in data analytics for groups of people, like male, female, baby boomers, you know, this, that, blah, 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 yeah. You know, all sorts of racial groups, people split people up into like everything, you know, dissect them, chop them up into like every single group and thing in order so that they can work out better ways to sell things to them, right? Because that's marketing. And that's not, I mean, that's not a big insidious, you know, evil plan. That's just how it works. People, you know, that's just what marketing is. But I often wonder those particular terms as to whether they became, or maybe not even their invention, but their more prevalent use, you know, about, and they're more used as identifiers is because of the driving force. It's like why it's like certain use these days, I attribute largely to the change in the devices that we use, the range of like the smartphone. I mean, the smartphone in on its own, smartphone, tablets, and the range of different devices are the driving force, as far as I'm concerned, for a lot of how, you know, things happen on social media these days, because it's on the go. It's like it's with you everywhere you go. So you
everywhere
can do
you go.
All the time. It's like, hello, pay attention to me. And you're going, shut up, phone. And it's like, and it's like telling you stuff and going, so-and-so said this. And you're like, oh my God, that's incredible. I was like, well, it's not really. It's like really boring, but I'm going to look at it anyway. And, you know, but that's a driving force too. So there's like things seem like something else came first. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it, agree.
It seems like something else came first, but it kind of didn't really. It's like the driving engine for it came from the creation of this other thing, you know, like smartphones, or just like generally, or not social media per se, but like where it is now, because it's like very sophisticated. And then
yeah,
with AI too. I mean, we didn't even touch on AI.
Oh my God. Oh, we can talk about that forever. Now when the AI makes such a, you know, good like videos, sometimes it's very scary to know what is real and what is fake news. And with the new ChatGPT, yeah.
I've noticed, I'm not sure whether you've seen this, but I've noticed an interesting trend, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon on YouTube, of those AI generated videos, you know, the ones that are all in slow-mo because they don't have the technology quite right yet, and they're all like moving, like, and everyone and all the, it's like a whole video filled with slow mood shots that you sometimes see in movies. It's like of the person moving their head, moving in slow-mo, but that's the whole video. That's because they, all those things, you know, the ones I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
And there's...
I'm addicted to those videos now. It's blowing my mind.
I know, but see, I had been watching, just because I think they're actually, it's a good creative example of that use. There's, have you seen the ones which are the, what they are is they're like a 50s Panavision version of a trailer about a well-known movie. And it's like 50s Panavision version of June, or 50s Panavision version of Star Wars. Have you seen them?
No.
They're really, I'll send you.
Send it to me after now.
Be warned, Noah. You may watch about 50 of them in one hit, because they're all, but they're actually genuinely really creative examples. It's not just like a lot of them are like, here's a new trailer for a Planet of the Apes movie, but in AI. And it's like, it's just, I mean, it's like visually interesting, but it's all just rubbish. And but these other ones, they have like really great voiceovers too. They're like, you know, in a land far away, in a sun-drenched planet called June, you know, and they have that 50s voiceover. But they do in a, it's excellent actually. It's hard to describe, but that's how I first got introduced to them recently. And but now that I'm just generally going around, like, they're everywhere. It's like, it's almost like it's a invasive, like seems to have been an explosion in that sort of content, because it's obviously
it's crazy. And obviously the AI tools are getting smarter, and if we're talking about like content creation, So I found that there is like a tool, an AI tool, that you gave it one photo of yourself and the content that, you know, even the topic that you want to create, and it's build a video of you speaking the content that they created to you, and it looked like you were actually speaking. It's just crazy, yeah. You know? And I enjoy like play with ChatGPT, the new ChatGPT version that came up this week, if you heard. So the change is that it's much more logical. It's very interesting. And sometimes I'm playing with it, you know, I'm sending it so many of like my text and my content creation scripts just to see how it's remembered. And its memory, it's fascinating. It's combine all of the text together. And once I'm giving it a topic, it's bringing me a script of this topic just as I would say it, like exactly in my words. And it's scary, isn't it? So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm torn between, because I feel on one hand, like we've all been so well trained, thanks to like really movies, of having this innate fear of like, you know, machines ruling humans. I mean, that's been forever. It's been it's been ingrained in people's minds. So on one hand, I'm like, the tools are useful, but like if you put all that sort of fear aside, which may just, you know, not be really founded in anything, although it might be, you know, is that if you put all that aside, I'm torn between like the really crucial point for me with everything we've been talking about too, with the content creation era, which I think really for the most part is actually great. I think there's a lot of good to be said about it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, negative things you can potentially say about the influence of social media on people. I think that's true too, but definitely. I don't think you're ever going to have a, you know, idyllic scenario where everything is like wonderful, because people will always misuse whatever they've got. Some people will. Exactly. That's just that'll always happen. But I think the only really, you know, cautionary sort of note about things like AI is with content creation and the starting of the blurring of the lines between what is good and what's, you know, it's like you go into KFC and you think that's all like healthy, wholesome food, and that's your norm. Like after a while, when it's how I feel to some extent with parts of the music industry, is the, you know, things get flooded with certain content types so much that then one day people wake up and they don't actually know the difference between what's good content and what's not, and they don't really care. And I mean, I think that's the problem. I think is that people, you know, and understandably so, like people get, you know, their sort of lives are busy. They just get given stuff, and for the most part, people ingest what they're given. And some people are more discerning about it, and they're like, nah, that's crap, don't like that. And other people aren't. Most people aren't, I don't think. And that's not, I don't think that's, I think that's a true comment. I don't think it's negative to anyone. I think it's just how things work. People are given things, and for the most part, they accept them. And they just go, sure, no worries. And that happens with content too. They're given stuff, and they're just looking at it, and they're already in the habit of, you know, we've had years of TV, watching TV, people just mindlessly looking at TV. I would probably argue in some ways that things on social media are more stimulating, but still also not always great than TV, because TV is much more passive. But anyway, that's a whole other podcast episode, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. But right. it's very interesting. I really want to comment on that because I'm feeling like when we were growing up, at least from my perspective, I knew that television has much more regulation. You know, you couldn't say several stuff on television. Yeah. You couldn't show several stuff on television, or you couldn't share information if it's, you know, if you never checked it before. And we can talk about it and
the regulations. Yeah.
Yeah. But on social media, and we talked about it just at the beginning, the fact that now we as an audience or consumers has the power to influence has also the bad version of sharing fake news or doing, you know, sharing stuff all the time that people see again and again and again and take it as...
And the lines are blurred.
Or taking as like, yeah, as the truth.
And the lines are blurred, and that's where like that's my main concern it's actually got nothing to do with like the actual technology per se, because it's only as good as its users.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to demonize the bottle of whiskey on its own? It's like, no, it's just a bottle of whiskey. It's like the guy who's going to drink that bottle and another bottle and go out and drive and kill somebody in a car. That's the problem. It's not the bottle of whiskey. And it's like the argument. I'm no big sort of person in favor of like heaps of guns and weapons or things like that. But same argument, as far as I'm concerned, applies. You know, a gun sitting on its own in the house is just the gun sitting on its own in the house. It's like the person who picks it up, who goes out, who is like a sports shooter, who just wants to shoot and who just enjoys it, is not a crazy madman. And then you've got the occasional crazy madman who goes out and kills heaps of people. And I mean, that's just how it is. Like people have to, and that's with content too. And that's the main sort of thing I feel generally anxious about with content creation is the use of AI, that it's going to not it in itself at all. I think some of it's sort of interesting and it's an interesting new sort of evolution of that, but it's the flooding of it. It's like it'll like flood stuff and it'll make everything vanilla. It'll be just like everything's like, yeah, it just has a feeling of having the potential to sort of to kill other avenues of like expression, whether that happens or not. I mean, that sounds rather dystopian, but like, I think part of it's sort of already happening. I can sort of see just sort of with music. I mean, there's still heaps of great music around, but there's a lot that's just all, you know, a particular use of electronic with traditional, and now that's become the norm, and probably also gets back to a lot of the things we talked about, is gets back to people like being risk averse to going, well, that's obviously really popular now, so why should we do anything else? That's, you know, why it's selling, it's like marketable. The kids love it. You know, all that sort of, there's a few people every now and again that go, nah, that's rubbish. You know, just try something else. And they're the, you know, the sort of the groundbreaking people that just go against what's accepted as like less in like any industry, right?
Definitely.
Like, yeah. So do you reckon we've said enough? Do you reckon we've said enough, Noah?
I can talk to you forever.
Well, I'll probably have another episode on something else too. But
I would love to.
But we've got, it's like a really big, it's like a pretty big area. I think like even the AI side of it, which we only started talking about at the end, is that's going to be debated for. I mean, that's still only so new. really, and it's just exploded everywhere. Every piece of software, every automation, every CRM. It's like, and anyway, look, that's another one. But I said at the start before we came on that I'd ask you to give a quote, which I always ask everyone to do near the end of the podcast. Hmm. So would you tell everyone your quote?
Yes. Hi, everyone. So I do have a quote that I'm carrying with me throughout my journey in the marketing field and the content creation world and, you know, even for life. And I always say to people I care of and my colleague that no matter who you work for or no matter who you work with, you always need to work on your personal branding. And that means that let the world know who you are, what's your interests, what's your thoughts, what's your passion, and you will be surprised how many opportunities and people will get into your heart and life throughout this journey.
That's really good. That's really interesting. Never had one like that. Most people have which is also great, like they will have some, you know, sort of a different quote, but that's also more of a message too. So that's cool. Thank you. And how do people, before we wrap it up, how do people best find out more about you and Sassy Marketing?
Yes. I'm the proud owner of Sassy Marketing. And you can find us on Google. You can find us on LinkedIn. My name is Noah Lavyud. We're also on social media and maybe on your next episode. Who knows? So
maybe. Yeah, maybe. I'll have the links. I'll have the links to the website and everything in the podcast anyway, too. But it's great to have you on, Noah. It's really, really fun and really insightful. And we'll have, yeah, and thank you, everyone. Have you got any parting notes you would like to share with everyone, Noah?
Just if you're thinking about starting content, start now.
Right. Yeah. Get into it. Yeah. Break some eggs. See how it goes. Then refine it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you again soon on the Grow Your Business podcast, and say goodbye to everyone, Noah.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business podcast.